Welcome in to the 48 Minutes Podcast on Believe, presented by Bet Online. I'm Ross Geiger, joined alongside Bruce Bernstein at Pure Hoops Media and World B, Michael Freer. This is episode number 65, and this quite simply is the episode we've been all hoping for. But before we introduce tonight's very special guest, football is back, and Bet Online is your number one information source for all your sports wagering info with all the up-to-the-minute stats, news, scores, and matchup breakdowns. Get the latest game odds, spreads, and totals for the NFL and college football at your fingertips with BetOnline's real-time updates on statistics, news, and odds. From week one all the way to the college football playoff and Super Bowl, BetOnline gives you access to the best football promotions and contests available anywhere online. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Remember to use our promo code BLEAV, that is B-L-E-A-V, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts. And tonight, we're thrilled to be joined by an NBA champion, NBA Finals MVP, a two-time MVP, one-time Defensive Player of the Year, one-time Most Improved Player, and this man was the youngest player named to the recent NBA 75th anniversary team. He probably doesn't love that I just rattled off all his top achievements, as I know there's certainly much more work to be done, but I'm so damn proud of him. Ladies and gentlemen, we're honored to have my brother, Giannis Antetokounmpo, join the show. Giannis, thanks for joining us. And if I'm not mistaken, this is the first podcast you've ever done, right?
Yeah, this is the first one. And I haven't even been yet to my brother Tanar's podcast, so you know how much I love you for coming on the show.
I greatly appreciate it. We're so excited to have you on. And I feel like it's only right, Giannis, that you make your debut podcast appearance with me. I helped you debut in the NBA. I helped you debut as a licensed driver on the roadways. And so why not add a debut podcast to the list, right?
Yeah, man. You helped me so much, you know, along the way, and especially those first days in cold Milwaukee. In that rookie season. So, man, I owe it to you, and I'm happy to be here, and I hope we enjoy the show.
Absolutely. So before I open up this chat to my co-host, Bruce and World B, I want to take you back to our early driving days, cruising around in my 1997 Subaru Outback. And once and for all, I want to squash any doubt about a story I've shared in the past. You almost definitely remember this moment, but we got caught up in a crazy bad snowstorm leaving the Cheesecake Factory at Bayshore. I had just gotten onto the freeway. The snow kept piling up on my windshield. The visibility was awful. Scared out of my mind, I told you I was pulling off to the side of the road when you quickly said no and jumped into action, grabbing a Gatorade towel out of my back seat, rolled down your passenger side window, and literally kept wiping the snow off my windshield with the towel in hand. I bring this up because someone legitimately wrote a story on it, claiming that it wasn't possible, that you weren't quite long enough to actually get the windshield where I would need to see as a driver. So I'm hoping once and for all, you can tell us what you remember about that moment and confirm the facts.
First of all, that story is true. and it's something that growing up, I saw my whole life. I saw my father doing it. You know, and he used to like drive at the same time and use his left hand and clean the, you know, what you call it, the glass. And so I remember we went to Cheesecake Factory, we were going back home and it was late at night. It was around maybe like 9, 10 p.m. And I was extremely tired. I had to work out the next day and you were saying like, oh, no, let's pull inside, let's stop, you know, kind of take a break. Wait until the storm is over. And I'm like, no. I got to go to bed. Like, keep on driving and I'm just going to help as much as I can, you know, kind of clear the view for you so you can see. And I remember, like, I had my hand was so cold after I did that. But I definitely can reach, you know, my wingspan is 7'3", 7'4". So it was easy for me to grab the towel and do that. And thank God we made it home safe.
Absolutely.
Well, first of all, Yasu, Giannis, and yasu, welcome. Yasu. So great to have you here. Fans like to talk about the next Jordan or the next Kobe, but they never talk about the next Hakeem Olajuwon. In my opinion, that would be you. You're the closest anyone has ever been to having an all-around game like Hakeem. You're both of Nigerian heritage. You both wear number 34. You both have this elegance, and your games are similar. And I don't think that can be denied. True or false? Are you kind of that guy?
That's a great compliment to be even in the same sentence as Hakeem Olajuwon. Probably one of the best international player to ever play this game, and for sure the best African player to ever play this game. I love this game. I always try to study his game. I love that he did it the right way. He stayed with his teammate and won two championships back to back. I think 94, 95. If I'm not mistaken, and he kind of carried himself the right way. He wasn't about, the things off the court. He was only about basketball and his family, which I see a lot of similarities in me and him. Now, saying that our games are alike, I'm not the one, to say that. I hope you guys and the fans and the people, the historians of the game, are able to kind of compare and see if there's any similarities in our game. But that's a great compliment. For me, I usually do not work out with active NBA players. I try to, kind of stay on my own side, my own court, do my own thing in the off season, because always compete against them. So when I am on the court, I want to go as hard as I can, because I am a very athletic person. I feel like the moment I am around I become your friend, because I give everything that I have to you. I don't know how to be, how you call it, phony. I don't know how to be fake, so that's why I kind of keep my distance, because I know that if I, work out with people, it takes active players, it takes off my edge when I play against them. But this season before the training camp, I have a trip that I'm gonna go down to Houston and try to work out with Hakeem Olajuwon. So it's crazy that you just
Wow.
say that. It's few people that I've worked out with: KG, Kobe, and Hakeem will be the third guy. I love his game, and if I can kind of take few things from his game or learn anything from the few days I'm gonna spend with him, it's gonna be a blessing. It's a guy that I've looked up my whole life. He's a guy that my parents look up to, because he was the number one guy in Nigeria. He was the best athlete in Nigeria. He was the best athlete in Africa. So just being able to spend some time with him and study the game with him and learn from the greats, it's a blessing. So, yeah.
I covered both of Hakeem's championships in 94 and 95 when I was working at ESPN. So I had a lot of experience dealing with him. And, he's a very proud Nigerian. You are very proud of your Nigerian heritage, but you were born in Greece. Okay.
Yes.
So which part of your personality is more the Greek side, and which part of your personality is more the Nigerian side?
I think my values and principles probably my Nigerian side, because whenever I went home, my parents are Nigerian, so we grew up in a Nigerian household. But sometimes the way I operate, it's a little bit Greek, it's a little bit European, because I went to school. Most of my friends are, Greek and European. It's a little bit, it's a little bit of both. But like Hakeem, I don't know if Hakeem was born in Nigeria. I think he was, but he represented the USA team. He never represented the Nigerian team. And I pretty much do the same thing. I was born in Greece. I represent the Nigerian team. But at the end of the day, everybody know, they, sorry, the Greek team. But at the end of the day, everybody know that I'm Nigerian. I love the culture. I know the culture, and I actually had a trip with my mom this summer there for the first time, and to meet my uncles and aunts and grandparents and everything. So everybody know that at the end of the day, I'm African, I'm Nigerian, And that's pretty much it on that. African Nigerian.
Hey, Giannis, we just finished off the FIBA World Cup, and for me it was a very exciting event. I enjoy watching it, these international competitions. But one of the storylines, one of the themes behind it was the U.S. sprinter Noah Lyles, who said he took issue with NBA calling the champions of the NBA world champions. What was your thought process? What did you think about when you heard that?
I wanted to back him up so bad, you know, and he received so much backlash for saying the obvious, but I think some people don't understand it. You can like I think it's I don't know, maybe it's like sorry, how can I say this politely? Maybe that is just like a arrogance thing, you know, like I don't think in any other sport you are called the world champions. You know, like in soccer, which is way bigger than the NBA, right? More popular than the NBA. When they win the Champions League, they say the UEFA Champions League, champions or whatever the case might be. They don't say the world champion, you know. When they win the World Cup, they play against the USA team, they play against the teams around the world, you know, countries around the world. Then they say the world champs, you know. But in the NBA, you say the world champs. For me, I think Manu Ginobili said it the best. I don't know if he ever, maybe I should not be saying this, but I don't know if he ever went public. Like he said that, hey, because they won 2006, Argentina won the World Cup. Say, I'm the world champ. You know, you guys are the NBA champs, but I'm the world champ because I went and beat, you know, the Greek team that had beat the USA team, you know, the previous game. I beat the Spanish team. I beat the Brazilian team, you know. So I'm the world champ. But I agree. Like at the end of the day, in order for you to be the world champ, you have to beat the world. I understand the NBA is the best league in the world, and the talent in the NBA, it's the best that you will ever see in your life. It's not even close, the best league in the world. But we cannot say you are the world champ because you play in the best league in the world. You know, and I don't say that there's other teams out there that they can beat the Denver Nuggets, for example. I'm not saying that. But you kind of have to respect, you know, those teams and say, yeah, I'm the NBA champ, I'm the VTB champ, I'm the EuroLeague champ, I'm the Greek champ, I'm the Spanish champ, I'm the French league champ. And when you go, like for example, now Germany won, I think Germany won the World Cup, correct? Yeah, Germany can say, yeah, we are the world champs. They just won the World Cup, you know. They beat the I think they beat the USA team, correct?
Yep.
In the
They beat the
semis.
U yeah, they beat the USA team. And then they went in the finals to beat the Serbian team. So in my opinion, what I think his name is Noah, right? Noah,
Noah
Noah
Lyles.
Lyles.
No, I might get some backlash from this, but I really do not care. I totally agree with him, because I feel like he's like in the world stage, you know, like he's the best in the US, for example, and then he goes and compete against other athletes from other countries, and then he thrives in that. So that's when you are the world champ, when you compete against everybody in the world. So long story short, I totally agree with him.
Speaking of players from all over the world, yourself, Joel Embiid, Nikola Jokic, Domantas Sabonis, Rudy Gobert. Why are all the best bigs international players? There's no American names in there.
I don't know. I think it's just a good era, you know. It's a good era. This in the next 10, 7 to 10 years, we're gonna have great bigs that know how to play the game, understand the game of basketball, have feel of the game. You can start from Jokic having triple doubles, being unbelievable passing up, so dominant down there. You can talk from Joel Embiid, like dominating in the mid-range, like an unbelievable scorer. You got to double team him in order for you to keep him at 30 points per game. Sabonis dominating with Sacramento Kings, changed the whole organization there. He knows what it takes to be a winner. Rudy Gobert, from being one of the best defensive players to ever play this game, arguably. I feel like nobody, people don't give him enough credit. From me, I do what I do. but it's a good time for basketball. It's a very, very good time. I wish they kind of came later, you know, yeah. It wasn't here while I'm playing. They kind of came like 10 years, you know, when I'm retiring. But it is what it is. But this great American bigs like Bam Adebayo, Miles Turner, like this Bobby Portis, Brook Lopez. There's so many great American bigs that they're, you know, they can go any day against the guys that you mentioned.
Now, Giannis, yet another young, talented international big is set to enter the league this year, and Victor Wembanyama of the San Antonio Spurs. What's your first impressions on what you've seen of his game? And having come into the league with a similar build, what advice would you give him heading into his rookie year?
Find a guy in San Antonio that you can go and sleep in his couch, eat a bunch of...
I see what you're doing there. Nice.
A bunch of Mike and Knights and a bunch of Mountain Dew, a bunch of Cheesecake Factory. No, I'm joking, but...
we didn't do any of that, did we?
No, we didn't. We were eating healthy all day. I was 18 and you were what, 21, 22? How old were you?
23.
Yeah, we were just eating healthy stuff.
Healthy,
Nobody's going to believe us, Russ.
Yeah.
But for a guy like Victor, first of all, he has so much talent. His talent is out of this world. For a guy 7'2", 7'3", I don't know his height exactly, but to be able to move the way he moves, to be able to have the feel of the game that he has, to be able to have the touch, you know, that he has. He can shoot the ball from mid-range, from three. He can take guys off the dribble. He can post. He can rebound. He's athletic. He can block shot. Like, he can do basically pretty much everything. He just got to pay attention to details, take care of his body. And slowly, slowly, he doesn't have to really put a lot of weight fast. Like, I didn't put weight fast. You know, like every year, I five to seven pounds.
Yep.
You know, and I feel like as you get older, you get 5%, like your body grows 5% naturally, even if you like it or you don't. I kind of had the mentality of speeding up that process. So the first year I put 5 to 7 pounds, second year, 5 more, third year, 5 to 7 pounds, fourth year, 5 to 7. Then the third year, the fifth year, I actually pay attention to what I ate. I kind of stay off the sugar, you know, did not drink soda, you know, it was just water, healthy stuff. I used to get like sugar from fruit, you know, so I really pay attention to my diet and I invested in myself. So that's when you kind of saw the real jump in my body, and I was able to, you know, kind of my game kind of evolved there in the paint. I was able to get in the paint whenever I wanted. But for like a guy like him, slowly, slowly, he doesn't have to rush it. He doesn't really have to put weight immediately, because he might affect the way he moves, his flexibility. But sky is the limit. If he takes his time, and hopefully, knock on wood, he stays off injuries, man, sky is the limit for that guy. I hope he can like lead the San Antonio, which is a great organization, winning franchise, to more championships.
Giannis, and real quickly here, I remember when you were going through that body transformation. You may remember I actually came into town for a Summerfest concert while with family in Chicago. Went down to visit John Horst and some of the guys that were around the Milwaukee Bucks front office. And, of course, didn't think you were in town. I thought you were back home in Greece. And you're on the court working out, getting shots up. And as soon as I know it, you're coming up 20 minutes later and you've got 5 different Ziploc boxes full of stuff. And you started taking me through one by one. You know, this is my protein. This is my carbs. I eat this now and that. And And from that moment forward, I knew you were on a mission to turn your body into what it is now. And it literally just took the summer after I left to join the Suns. And I went back to Phoenix and I was like, the league's in some trouble. I mean, he's got his diet on. He's focused. We're in some trouble here. But go ahead, World B.
Yeah, Giannis, your season ended last season with disappointment, losing to the Heat in the playoffs. I was just curious, how much has that loss motivated you during this offseason?
A lot. At the end of the day, for me personally, in my lowest moment in my career, I've thrived the most, you know, and hopefully it's one of the same scenarios here. But, you know, obviously, the goal is always to win a championship, and we wasn't able to do that last year. We didn't accomplish the goal. The way we performed in the playoffs wasn't the way that anybody in the Bucks organization will want us to perform. We didn't. We didn't accomplish our goals, and we played bad basketball. Then my injury in the first game played a big part of my rhythm and the team's rhythm. But me personally, I'm coming back in locked in. I want to come back, enjoy the game. I want to go out there, have as much fun as I can, and go out, guys. Like, I want to take the challenge. I want to be challenged. I'm excited. I haven't played basketball all off season because I did the procedure on my knee. So I'm getting slowly back on the court now. Hopefully I can be back and ready for training camp with the team, and I can participate in the preseason game, because I kind of miss it. And the last taste I have this in my mouth is bitter from that game. So, man, I'm excited. I really want to go out there, play good basketball, help my team be great, and I really want to go at people. I want to take the challenge, you know. And whatever at the end of the day, whatever the season leads us to, it's gonna be great. But I want day by day to just pay attention to the little things that I know is gonna count over the 6, 7, 8 months that we of the season we have, and hopefully we are gonna be the ones that fight for the championship at the end, and not get eliminated in the first round like this past year.
Giannis, the city of Milwaukee seems like a place that you've always been comfortable pretty much since day one. Do you see yourself playing the rest of your career as a member of the Milwaukee Bucks?
You know, Russ knows me, you know, almost better than anybody. You know, I've had a relationship, and as a person, it's very hard for me to open up to people. And as I've grown, I kind of keep myself close to my family, to my circle, and the people that know me. But like, I'm a winner. Oh, sorry, babe. My wife right here.
Hello, everybody.
But at the end of the day, I am a winner. I want to be a winner. Contracts, fame status, comfort zone does not matter to me. What matters at the end of the day, it's where that thing right there. That's what matters. You know, and I don't want to be able to get stuck in this lifetime to keep on talking about the same story. Oh, we went to game 6 in the NBA Finals. We won. We were down 2-0. We came back, won 4 games. Like, I'm tired of hearing the same story over and over again. I feel like people get stuck on that, which is unbelievable. It's great. I know people are excited. I know that we hadn't won a championship for 50 years, but at the end of the day, I want to create new memories. I want to win another championship. We're talking about Hakeem. He has 2 championships. You know, the moment I win a second championship, then maybe we can compare. I can be compared to Hakeem. Right now, I cannot be compared to Hakeem. He has 2, I have 1. You know, let me just, you know, keep it, say it as simple as I can. But at the end of the day, if in the Milwaukee Bucks organization, which is the same thing I say every single year I've been with the Bucks, as long as we are in for the championship, as long as nobody's comfortable, as long as everybody sacrifices the same amount of time and sweat and blood that I've sacrificed for this city to win a championship, we are all good. The moment I feel like people are complacent and they're okay, you know, because at the end of the day, this is the NBA. You are taken care of. You know, you stay in a 5-star hotel. You eat the best food, lobsters. You go and, you know, eat wine. Drink wine. I don't drink, but, you know. You get in your charter, in your plane. You know, on the 15th and the 1st, you get your paycheck. You know, everybody's comfortable. No way. By being comfortable, I cannot reach my full potential. As you guys have seen, every year I try to get better every year. And that's the approach I have for the game. That's the approach I have for life. I don't want to be comfortable. I want us to win another championship. But at the end of the day, I talk too much. And the game is played. It's not talked. You know, but as long as we play and we approach the game every single day the right way and we all sacrifice for a common goal, I can see myself being in Milwaukee Bucks for the rest of my career. But the moment I feel like people are not committed as I am to get that golden pin in the back, I am not. You know, I am. It's more than the money. It's more than the fame. It's more than the lobsters. It's more than the wine. It's more than the charter flights, the private flights. For me, it's all about that, and I want that. You know, so. As I said, if the Milwaukee Bucks were on the same page for the rest of my career, great. If not, I have to win. I have to win. And I think the city and people will understand it, you know, because I'm one of the most competitive guys. And I've gave everything I can for the city of Milwaukee. I bleed green. I'm actually wearing the Milwaukee Bucks on this interview. Where is it? I'm actually wearing that and the shorts, you know, like, and I'm actually about to go to bed, you know. So this, I'm a Milwaukee Buck, but most importantly, I'm a winner. I want to win, and I have to do whatever it takes for me to win. And if there's a better situation for me to win the Larry O'Brien, I have to take that better situation.
Now, Giannis, quickly going off the court here, just about a year ago, you lost Ante Inc. along with your brothers. And as chairman and co-founder, you've been extremely busy and active. But in particular, your company has made investments into a wide variety of pro sports opportunities. I believe Thanasis hinted at it recently, but is the dream goal to eventually own an NBA franchise down the road?
Yeah, if there's, first of all, for you to own the NBA franchise, you got to have the money. Yeah. You know, and as we move forward, they get more expensive and expensive and expensive. Eventually, I will want to own an NBA franchise. That would be a dream come true. And not just own a team, just to say to own the team. Kind of like bring the right management, bring the right people. To, you know, win a championship, because I know what comes with the championships, you know. But yeah, that's the goal. Ante Inc. is like my baby. It's a thing that me and my brother started, my family started. It's like a family office that kind of manages all our businesses and things that we getting ourselves involved with. And we have so many other new projects that in the future it's gonna come. You guys probably gonna see it in the media, but like it's a team for my own family to kind of vet all of our deals that come our way, because I want to be committed to basketball. My brothers want to be committed in basketball. This is what we do well, and I've had you know, people around me that they're way smarter than me in order for me to be able to take advantage of the platform that I have today, you know, because a lot of people want to approach us. A lot of people want us to get involved with their businesses. But like my whole career, I never had a team that could execute those deals, that could follow back with them This is not my agency. This is not my agent. This is thread my own team that can help us, kind of achieve the vision that we have and kind of the goal that we have off the court. Because they always say, like, you got to kind of prepare stuff for your next chapter. But at the end of the day, like, Russ, you know me, I'm so committed to basketball. Like, I don't have time to prepare. I just came back. I left home today at 9 a.m. and I came back in the house at 8:35. I went from 9 a.m. until treatment, all the stuff, court, recovery, 1 p.m., 2 p.m. left, went to, I did a event for my foundation in between with Mariah for to kind of bring awareness for families that don't have access to diapers. And then I went back to the court to get to lift a little bit again, get my treatment for my knee and all that. And I just came back home. I haven't seen my kids. I haven't done anything. I haven't sit down and spent 10, 15 minutes for myself. So it's very hard for me to manage a business if I don't even have time to even see my kids, So again, that's what Auntie Inc is. That's why the people that we, me and Thanasis, have brought to kind of help us with our life and our business endeavors that we have for the future.
Exciting stuff there, and thanks for sharing all that with us here. We've reached the halftime buzzer. We're going to take a quick break, Giannis, and come back with a quick second half. And we're back with the start of the second half. And before we let you go, Giannis, we'd like to play a game that we like to call word association. So we're going to go ahead and give you a word or a name, and you tell us a word that comes to mind and give us a brief explanation on why you picked that word. So we've mixed in some fun along with some serious for you here tonight. So you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Bruce?
Drew Holiday.
Best teammate ever.
Okay. Will be?
Giannis, Jason Kidd.
Genius.
All right, next one, smoothies. I had to go
Tasty.
there, Giannis.
Tasty. Oh no, actually not tasty. Costco.
Costco, yeah. See, no
Costco.
one knows that about the story, right? I mean, everyone thought you were at Jamba Juice or Smoothie King. No, we were at Costco. I was showing you the ropes of what Costco was all about. I started you at Walmart, then we went over to Costco, and once you got your license, you pulled up back into the apartment complex and you're unloading your car with Costco stuff. And I'm like, you went to Costco? You go, yeah, I got my own membership. I'm like, damn. All right,
Fantastic.
Bruce.
Well, I was going to go with Thanasis, and then I said no. Then I was going to go with Costas, then I said no. And then I thought maybe I'll go with Alex, and I said no. So I'm just going to go with family.
Bond. Like, we are tight, bond.
Kobe Bryant, Giannis.
Fearless mentality. Fearless
All right.
mentality.
And last one for you, Giannis, fatherhood.
Tough. Tough.
Are you
Tough, but
excited to be
nice.
a girl dad?
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited. Tough, but definitely worth it and enjoyable. But it's tough, especially for a guy like me that I'm at 28. And I'm having my third one in a few days. It's hard because you gotta manage life. But at the end of the day, it's so enjoyable, seeing them growing up, seeing them smiling, seeing them, being excited to see you after a hard day of work. It's always a great feeling.
And one last thing before we let you go, I gotta know, do you have a pickleball net for your home gym yet?
No,
You do
I
not? All
don't know. No.
right, well, you need to get one because in the next year, I'm gonna make this promise to you right here on the podcast. At some point, I'm coming over to challenge you, There's going to be three events. We're going to play pool, pickleball, and then around the world. Best of three. Do you think you could beat me?
Yes. I'm gonna beat
based
you
off what? The,
I'm gonna beat you in around the world because when we played in Phoenix,
I smashed you. Yeah.
Okay.
Pickleball, what about the other two?
Pickleball, you had me, but so I was close though. So now that I know that you're good, I'm gonna practice. I'm gonna beat you. So
okay.
Until you come, you're gonna give me like 3, 4, 5 months. So I know that I'm gonna get some time in. Now pool, that's gonna be, you know, give or take. I don't know if you've been playing pool because I have a pool downstairs.
And I don't practicing. Have a pool table.
So I got you there. But pickleball, I remember you kicked my butt, man. You killed me, Phoenix. I was so, first of all, I had something to do. I don't remember. I was lifting or I had somewhere to go.
You had a lift.
I had to
late night lift.
Yeah. So I was so upset that you beat me. And you know, I kind of played it off. I'm like, yeah, you know, don't worry about it. You know, that's my guy. Whatever.
I wasn't apologizing.
Yeah, I know. So, but you know me, I'm very competitive. Usually, if I didn't have to lift, we'll stay there all night until I beat you.
Now you know why he brought it up, Giannis.
Yeah. So we've done this many times, like in Milwaukee. When we were in Milwaukee, living in the same apartment complex, we would play pool after the game. And after every game, he'll beat me again, and I will never be like, no, Russ, one more. And I think
like
at 2:30. At one point, he let me win, so he go to bed.
Yeah. Well, you forgot I had to cut video. I had to cut games, too, for Coach Drew and the coaching staff. I'm like, Giannis, I got an opponent scout to still do.
Yeah.
That was before you knew all about the inner workings of what everybody had to do too. So,
I had no idea. I'm not gonna lie. When I came in, I had no idea what you were doing. Mike's Sergo, what was the other guy named?
Cody Ross.
Cody. Yeah. Cody. I had no idea what you guys were doing, man. No idea. But now, you know, I understand.
Well, if you think you're gonna beat me, I'm gonna throw one last curveball at you and. Just be prepared. I might show up to your house with a ladder, so that way I can beat you in around the world shooting.
With a ladder?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Why?
You don't get the joke? Do you not remember last season?
Oh, the ladder in Philly. hey, that was actually a crazy story, and the way they made me look, it wasn't right. It wasn't the right thing, but I don't know because I don't think I've ever said what happened. Obviously after a disappointing loss, you go out and you get some extra shots, and you know I was shooting, and while I was shooting, I don't bother nobody. I was shooting in my basket, and you know, they come and took the ball from me. They literally. The guy, one of the coaches and one of the other, you know, the players, I don't want to put them in the spot, I don't want to say their names, but they came and took the ball from me like I was a little kid. It's like, no, you're not shooting here. And not only that, they took my ball and they went on the other side of the court to shoot. And I'm literally looking, I say, this cannot be possible. Like, I cannot imagine if LeBron James or Steph Curry or Hakeem Olajuwon or... I don't know, Trae Young or Luka Doncic or Jokic will be shooting free throw, and a guy or a coach of another team come and take the ball, you know, and say, hey, you're not shooting. This is my bad. I'm like, we are not kids. We are grown. We are all grown adults, you know. But then I went into the Philly locker room because they had the balls there. I said, please, can I have two balls? And then I took two balls. I went out there, and there was this guy. That put saw me coming and put the ladder, and I went to him. They cut the video only when I put the ladder. I went to him. I said, can you please move the ladder? And he's like, no. I said, sir, I have two more free throws. You know how I am. I'm like obsessive. Yep. I cannot.
Yep.
I think I have like OCD. I cannot live on 8. I gotta make 10. I cannot live on 48. I gotta make 50. I'm like, I have two more. Can you please move the ladder? No, you're done. I moved it. I said, sir, sorry. I moved it. I went back to the free throw. I'm about to shoot, and I can see him moving it back. And I'm like, guys, you're disrespecting now my time on the court. This is what I do. This is what feeds my family. You know, this is what I've put roof over my head. This is what brought my family from Greece to Milwaukee. This is what take care of my family in Nigeria. You know, I'm very, very a guy that thinks very deep, you know. And I went and I kind of pushed it. And the thing cut and fell. And the crazy thing, when I pushed it, if you see in the corner, Liam was right there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
When you notice the thing is falling, Mariah kind of backed up because Liam was right there. And I'm like, can you imagine, knock on wood, can you imagine if he hit Liam in the head? I couldn't live with that, you know? Yeah. So, but they only show Giannis, he's a freaking a-hole, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's a bad guy, he's this, and blah, blah, blah. And they just put that. But they didn't know that the way the all the thing played out. But after that, it was cool. Coach Doc Rivers called me, apologized, and told me, oh, man, this can never happen. If you ever want to shoot some shots, come out and shoot some shots. And we expect the same respect when we come to Milwaukee to use your court. You know, it's like a courtesy thing.
Yeah.
You know, so, but all good. Life is good. Keep on getting better. Keep on hooping, you know. And hopefully we can win the championship this year.
Awesome. Well, Giannis, we would talk to you all night. So we're going to let you take the mic from us. That's going to be okay here on tonight's podcast. And we're going to go ahead and shut things down. So we want to thank you for your time here tonight on the 48 Minutes podcast. It means a lot to me, especially since I got you before Thanasis did. I can't wait to rub that into him for sure. But he's a good friend of the show. Welcome back anytime as well. But with that, that will do it for this edition of the 48 Minutes podcast on Bleav, presented by Bet Online. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back with you next week with the NBA reigning coach of the year and Sacramento Kings head coach, Mike Brown, to be sure you're up to date in 48 on all things NBA. Take care, everybody.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Ross, thank you so much. Thank you,
guys. Thank you, Giannis.